Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Security. Brannon brings the issues of the day into clear focus through the lens of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Welcome to the broadcast. Glad you are with us. I'm going to be joined by Wes Peters in a minute. I pre-recorded about a 40-minute interview with him the other night that I want to bring to you today on inflation, superinflation, hyperinflation, bank runs in China, and the BRICS banking system, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. There is the goal, and I've been reporting on the BRICS banking system for over a decade now, and their goal ultimately by most of their partners is to take down the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency, the petrodollar. And now we're being told that China has approved for Argentina to come in and be a part of that BRICS banking system. So we'll talk about some of these very, very important issues related to finances. Then I'll be joined by Dr. Peter Breggin. He's known as the conscience of the psychiatry field. A lot of the psychiatrists don't like him because he says, look, guys, you should not be putting these kids on these psychotropics. Many of these school shooters have been on these psychotropics. And he's been an expert testifying in many of these trials. He'll join us tonight. And then we'll be joined by Dr. Rob Linstead. We'll get an update because trending today on social media is Ezekiel 38. Now you say, why is Ezekiel 38 trending on social media? Because of Putin and the president of Russia, head of Russia, and then the prime minister, or I should say the president of Turkey, and the president of Iran, or the head of Iran, all meeting together. Iran, Russia, and Turkey. The Bible speaks about a military alliance between these nations. Thousands of years ago, in the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, under the inspiration of God, wrote and told us what was to come. And we're watching it unfold in our lifetime. And so much of social media we're reading, right there trending, is Ezekiel 38. So many people are very interested in this. In fact, what's fascinating is many people now are interested in Bible prophecy that never have been. We're seeing the foundation being laid for a COVID passport, which I think will lay the foundation for a digital ID, which the World Economic Forum is calling for, which will lead the foundation, I believe, of a, well, one world economy where no one can buy or sell lest they have the mark of the beast, as described in Revelation 13. So we know there's coming a one-world economy, a one-world government, and a one-world religion. And look at, we're watching a lot of this unfold right in front of us. So we got a full plate tonight to get to. But hey, first, 53 years ago tonight, they landed on the moon. 53 years ago tonight. And interesting enough, I received a box of newspapers today, just in time. Because if it showed up tomorrow, it wouldn't be 53 years ago tonight, would it? 53 years ago tonight, July 20th, 1969, they landed on the moon. Apollo 11 landed on the moon. I showed you guys some a headline, a paper, a few weeks ago. One of our wonderful listeners knows I like history and sent me the original picture, or excuse me, original paper, talking about reporting on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And I showed that to you. And my mother was watching, and so she packed up a bunch of historic newspapers she's been holding for decades and decades now, and, well, over 50 years, some of them. And she packed those up, and she sent those to me, and I got them today, in fact. I got them this morning. And so just in time, here we are for the 53rd anniversary of the landing on the moon. And so my mom and dad sent these to me, and they will be framed in appropriate frames and hung on my history wall. And one of these days when I'm done hanging all this stuff, because I have a lot of stuff I have to frame, when I'm done framing all of it, I'll take you guys, and one of the camera guys will go down to my history wall, and you can see this. But here it is. This is one. This is from Jackson, Mississippi. That's where we were living then, and I was born there. Jackson Daily News, July 21st, 1969. American gamble pays off with pocket full of moon dust. And, of course, this is the next morning, the next day, the headline as to the landing. You can pull down that lower third, if you guys, if you want. Let them see. There we go. They can see this stuff more easily. So isn't that a treasure? Man walks on the moon. That's, again, dated July 21st, 1969. My mother has been holding these for all these years. I'll get to that one in a minute. Here we go. Here's another one. This was the Jackson Daily News. This one was July 16th. Off to visit on the moon. So they were reporting that, hey, these guys are going to be doing this. Took them a few days to get there, as you guys know. And this is pretty sharp. And again, any of you guys that have this, that want to add to my collection, you can certainly mail those to my P.O. box. Pack them up well and put them in a box. And we'll add them to our history wall. This is interesting because I obviously live in Memphis. I did not know there was a paper called the Memphis Press Shemitar. The Memphis Press Shemitar? I may be saying that right. Sounds Jewish, doesn't it? I wonder if this was owned by a Jewish family. There are a lot of Jewish families that live in East Memphis, but I'd never even heard of this paper. We have the commercial appeal. Is it worth anything? But we have the commercial appeal. I'd never heard. This paper obviously isn't around anymore. I don't even know if the Jackson Daily News is even around anymore, because a lot of these companies have gone under. I know a couple I'm about to show you aren't around. But look at this one. Thank you, Mr. President, : goodbye. Oswald's slang as seen by the nation. Again, this one's dated November 25th, 1963. November 25th, 1963. Look at that. Right here from my hometown. I didn't even know that there was a paper by that name. I'll have to research that a little more. That's interesting. now here's the... try to do these in order. Here... I better go this direction then. Here we go. Here is the Washington Star. I remember, because I lived in D.C. when my dad was working for the government, for the federal government, and the Washington Star, I remember the day they quit printing. And I'll show you that in a minute. But this is 52 hostages rest in Germany. They got freed because who got sworn in? Ronald Reagan. And this one is dated January 21st, 1981. The Washington Star, that is not even around, hasn't been around for years, as you're about to see. That's the Washington Star, another historic one. All right, here's the Washington Post. Sadly, this one is still around. The Washington Post is still around. Here we go. Freed Americans flown out of Tehran, Reagan sworn in as the 40th president. Okay, now friends are starting to text me. Oh, Scimitar? Scimitar, someone's correcting how you say that, the Memphis Scimitar. Well, someone look it up. Text, look it up and tell me what that means. Is that a Jewish name? Was it a Jewish family that ran that? I meant to do that before I went on the air. All right, so look that one up for me. All right, so there we go. Freed Americans flown out of Tehran, Reagan sworn in as 40th president, January 21st, 1981. Now, I was standing on the lawn of the U.S. Capitol when he was sworn in, because we were living there as a family. My parents took me down there. We went in the metro. And it was packed in like sardines. Now, I would never do that today. I'm too claustrophobic. So I would never do that today. But I got through it as a kid somehow. But it was packed in there like sardines to go down to the U.S. Capitol to be there to hear and see President Reagan being sworn in. Of course, little did I know so many years later, the early 90s, about 1993, that I would be a guest on his son's radio show. And he and I become very, very close friends. He gave me my start, his son did, Michael, in talk radio, went on to sit in for him, be his guest His education reporter, frequent guest host, wrote the forwards of several of my books, and I was his literary agent on his book, Twice Adopted. In fact, I communicate with Michael quite a bit, quite often. We were just communicating last week. Sometimes we talk on the phone, sometimes we just text. But, yeah, that's a great paper right there, the Washington Post, Reagan being sworn in. Love that picture. All right. Now, after he was sworn in, you know, then we ended up having these guys get home, right? At long last, freedom won for 52 hostages. So there we go. This is the Washington Star. This paper is not around anymore either. Do you guys remember that? I mean, some of you maybe are too young. That's not something I'm going to get used to saying. But there's a lot of you in the audience that remember. See, I wasn't even, I was just April, May, June. I was only 3 months old when they landed on the moon. So obviously I don't remember that. So some of you definitely remember that one. I was not alive when Kennedy was killed either. So some of you remember that. So that'll make me feel younger. But I know there are teenagers watching who don't remember any of this. I had a 17-year-old call into the radio show the other day. He said, Mr. House, you don't realize how many teenagers listen to your show. So they don't remember any of this. They don't know any of this. I was, in fact, showing some of the kids today this, and I was trying to explain to them what all this was about. They know about the landing on the moon and the Kennedy assassination, but they don't. Hostage crisis, Iranian hostage crisis. I have to explain a lot of that to them. But we all remember that, right? Tying the yellow ribbons around the tree, the song by Tony Orlando and Dawn and all of them. Reagan takes oath, hostage deal on track again, January 20th, 1981. This is the Washington Star. This is the inauguration special, 1981 souvenir edition. Look at that. Can you believe that my mother held these this long? And some of them, of course, she's held for 50 years, and she's giving them to me. Wow. Now here is, this one she has it wrapped. This is the final edition. Well, what would make you say that, Brennan? I don't know, maybe the big black words, final edition. This is the final edition of the Washington Star. 128 years of service ending. 128 years of service. Oh, the studio lights, everything's reflecting. Can hardly read it. 128 years of service ending, the final edition of the Washington Star. Now, I remember when this came out, and I remember her back in August 7th, 1981, I remember her saying, I'm going to get one of those and preserve it. I remember that, and there it is. Now it's part of my collection. How about that? Here's one. This one's not so old here. I mean, relatively it is, but not compared to some of these. Israel hit. Look at that one, USA Today. Israel hit. U.S. allies retaliate for Iraq missile attacks. Fear of chemical warheads proves unfounded. Israel hit. I remember that man. I remember rushing home to watch the TV and tune into that. CNN. That's when we all watched CNN because there really wasn't anything else to watch, right? And we watched CNN. This was January 18th to the 20th, 1981. I guess this was the Friday, Saturday, Sunday edition. The Friday, Saturday, Sunday edition, January 18th to 20th, 1991. So that was about 31 years, right? Yep. So that's a good one too, right? Now here we have the Pioneer Press, the St. Paul Pioneer Press. That paper's still around. A Love Affair. And this is about the October 30th, 1991 Minnesota Twins. Now, I went to the Minnesota Twins game when they were in the World Series. I can't remember. Any of you guys listening in Minnesota? I have the Homer Hankies. I have the Homer on my history wall. I have the Homer Hankies from, I think it was 87, 88, because I was a senior in high school, and I camped out all night in a parking lot of, camped out all night and slept on the concrete in a parking lot in Roseville, Minnesota. Roseville, Minnesota, Rosedale Mall. So you could stay in line and get tickets to the World Series. So I went to the World Series. They won that year. We had the Homer Hankies. I have them framed. Then the next year was 90, I think it was 91. So there you go. That's what the paper is, 1991, October 30th, 91. You know, what year was it? October 31st. Was it October 31st, 93? October 31st, Halloween, 93, I think, if I remember correctly. We got like 27 inches of snow. It was ridiculous. So anyway, aren't these great? So these will be framed and go on my history wall. And I promise you guys, I got several things that need to be framed, and then I'll bring you guys in. I'll bring the TV down to the down there to see that. What is Joe saying here? Oh yeah, I can't read that. Yeah, you're right, Joe. All right. look at this. This is my mother's handwriting. This magazine given to George, that'd be my father, by my grandmother, by my mother's mother. So this magazine was given to my father by my mother's mother. And it is a, what is it dated? Well, it's, let's see. This is pretty cool. It's actually kind of sad, actually. This would have been after he died. Clearly, it would have been after he died. Kennedy and his family pictures by the editors of Look magazine. I mean, I'm assuming it's after he died. It has to be. I mean, they wouldn't have done something like this probably while he was alive to this degree. It's got his... Oh, that's a sad picture. Got his empty rocking chair sitting there in the Oval Office. By the way, I don't know how many of you have ever been to the Oval Office. I've been to the door of the Oval Office and looked in. And it is a much smaller room than you would imagine. That was what stunned me, was how small it was. But this is, yeah, this has got to be after he passed away, because it's just so many pictures of him and talking about him. I can't imagine it was. So it had to, it doesn't have a date on it. The father and his kids. Let's go to the back. Oh, yeah, everyone loves that one. That's the iconic picture, right? One of my acquaintances, I say acquaintances, I won't say friend. I would consider him a friend, but more of acquaintance. But we talked off and on over the years. And his father was a White House photographer for President Kennedy. His father was a White House photographer for President Kennedy, and his dad had been a Navy guy. Because he was a Navy guy, he served the purpose of being the White House photographer and a Navy guy. Because I guess what he told me was that a Navy officer or former Navy officer, either current or former naval officer, needed to be on a ship if he was on a boat. So if he went on an old boat and they wanted to keep it small, this guy could double as the White House photographer, which he was one of them, but a former naval officer. So he would go along. So he has pointed out a lot of the pictures. He pointed out some of the pictures that his dad had taken. And I ended up a few years ago looking up his name, the photographer's name. The son, Hal, obviously has the same last name. And looked up a bunch of his photographs that he had taken. And he did this. And he would go to the White House as a little kid with his dad, who was the White House photographer. Yes, folks, this was taken. This was put together after President Kennedy passed away. Because there it is. That's how it ended. I figured at the back of it I would find that. All right, so this is just a beautiful book commemorating the life of John F. Kennedy, who, for the most part, was a very, very staunch anti-communist. He would not be welcome in the Republican Party. The Democrat Party. I'm not so sure he'd be welcome in the Republican Party, some of the things he believed. I'm not so sure Ronald Reagan would be welcome in the Republican Party today. Everything is gone. It's the Overton window. Everything has just moved to the left. My left is over here. So everything is moved to the left, Overton window, with exclusive pictures from files of Look magazine. That's one. That's a conversational piece there. All right. So thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. This will become a part of my collection. And again, I promise you guys, I'm going to get a bunch of stuff framed and get you guys down to the history wall I have, and show you all kinds of cool stuff I framed over the years. All right. That's fun. And if you do, hey, look, if you got some of this kind of stuff sitting in a closet or an attic somewhere and you want to unload it, send it on. P.O. Box 1690. I'm not kidding you. P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. P.O. Box. Maybe you can put that up there, Logan. P.O. Box 1690. P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, 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 Tennessee, 38027. And send it on along if you want. I'll add to the collection. All right, let's go to a... Thanks, Mom and Dad. Appreciate that. Let's go to a recording I did the other day with Wes Peters on the economy, and then we'll come back and go to Dr. Peter Bregan and then Rob Lidstead. Watch this. Financial update, where we seek to go over the news of the week and help you have an understanding of what is happening. Joining me today is Wes Peters, and before he joins me, Wes joins me from Swiss America. Let me remind you that I do not give financial advice. I give financial opinion. It's up to you to do your own due diligence. And, of course, we'll offer you the opportunity to do some of your own due diligence by getting that free packet of information from Swiss America that you see on your screen. You can simply call or text Wes directly. That is Wes' direct number there. Text him your name and address. He'll send you that free packet of information so you can do your own due diligence. 602-558-8585. Wes, welcome to this week's financial report.
Hey, Brandon. Thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm hanging in there. How about you?
Doing well. Another week in the books.
Another week in the books. And, you know, it's getting very interesting as we talk today about what's happening in China. Bank runs in China. We're going to get to that. The International Monetary Fund is saying that we're going to continue to have an increase in inflation, particularly if the nations of the world, the central bankers of the world, don't get a hold of money printing, which is kind of ironic because the IMF was actually created in part by John Maynard Keynes, who said, by this continuous process of inflation, we can steal the majority of the people's wealth, and not one man in a million will know what we're doing, and while it impoverishes many, it enriches some. And of course, the some is many of the power elite who know exactly what they're doing as they dump out of the dollars by buying gold, because they know what's happening ultimately to the dollar. We'll also talk this week about the BRICS banking system: Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Argentina has now been given the go-ahead by China to come in and join the BRICS banking system. Saudi Arabia appears to now be prepared to start buying oil with something other than the American dollar that has been the world reserve currency since the early 70s when Nixon closed the gold window and they convinced Saudi Arabia and those countries to trade oil on the world market with the American dollar, which is one reason it has value, because it's a world reserve currency. If the countries of the world that put out the oil, that we buy the oil from, that other nations buy oil from, dump the American petrodollar, we're going to see a wave of money, paper money, digits come rushing back to our shores, which will only create more inflation. The definition of inflation being too many dollars chasing too few goods and services. So we have a lot going on in the news this week. We'll get to it. And let's start out with a video on what's happening in China. Bank runs in China. Is that coming to a bank near you? Watch this.
Millions of Chinese citizens are desperately rushing to get their money out of the system as fears of a bank collapse continue to rise. New reports are warning that bank runs are sparking unprecedented chaos all over the country, given that many savers just discovered that they are at risk of losing everything. The country's growing economic and financial instability is threatening to trigger a ripple effect all across the planet, making global financial markets edge closer to a massive meltdown. That ultimately means that not only the Chinese could be financially wiped out overnight, the whole world is actually moving towards another historic downturn. And as bubbles burst and markets crash, we're all at danger at this point. We surely have a lot to discuss today, but before moving on, please give us your support.
All right, so let's stop right there. This is very interesting because many of them are realizing how vulnerable they are with the economy and will we be able to get our money. Then you add social credit scores, and we have talked about the artificial intelligence in China. They have over 600 million cameras in China, and if you jaywalk, light up a cigarette in public, and they can identify you through your face, which they can, they just deduct it from your account. We see more and more of a push going toward digital currency here in America, the World Economic Forum pushing for digital currency. This is a way to control people. The folks in China are figuring out, you know, if we don't have money outside the system, they can actually shut us out, lock us down, we get nothing. This is kind of what went on in Cyprus several years ago. They just shut the banks down because of a financial problem for several days, and people without money couldn't buy food or nothing. This is one of the reasons we've been warning people for years, Wes, that you've got to be outside the system. Many of the people in China are now waking up. For many of them, it's too late. Americans, I don't know how much longer they're going to have. It could be weeks, it could be months, it could be years. I don't know. But eventually, I believe, it's my opinion, Wes, that eventually Americans are going to find themselves in a system that is locked down. Capital controls. You only can take out so much money at any given time. And many people are going to be like, why did I not know this was coming? But those that have cash, those that have gold and silver put away, they'll not only be able to weather inflation, superinflation, hyperinflation, they'll have things by which they can use as a medium of exchange. They won't be under the thumb of the digital tyrants. What say you, Wes?
I think you're 100% correct, Brandon. I've been telling people for years to have a minimum of, you know, 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses outside the bank in cash, because, you know, the warning signs are out there already, but you're not going to get an email or a letter from your bank saying, hey, we're in some trouble right now. You might want to get some of your money out of the bank. So to be prepared and be proactive, have some cash outside of the bank, outside of the system. Exactly. You know, Swiss America, we have a piece called The Secret War on Cash. Our government doesn't like when people use cash. If you use cash, you're up to something. You're trying to hide something. And that's the big reason there's a push to go to a digital currency as well, is once we go digital, as you know, you can kiss all privacy goodbye. So
yes,
it is imperative to have a game plan and a strategy in advance, because if you walk up to your ATM machine and it's not working, and you swing by your bank and the doors are locked, you're instantly locked out. You have no choice. You have nothing, you know, nothing to do. And the average person, I would imagine, if they had to come up with $200 cash and they weren't allowed to borrow it from someone, they had to get it from home, not a lot of people have cash on hand.
Well, and what about when that cash finally becomes, in its purchasing power, greatly debased? In other words, it doesn't buy them much. I had here at this news desk last summer, Melissa Tate, born and raised in Zimbabwe. Her mother, she said, had somewhere around $200,000 in savings that after the hyperinflation of Zimbabwe ended up having the purchasing power of 2 bags of groceries. So as
right.
We move toward, we're now in superinflation. We'll get to the latest inflation numbers in a minute. But right now we are in superinflation. But as you know, I've been predicting, as have you, hyperinflation. So we're in superinflation now. We're headed to hyperinflation. And people are going to watch those dollars be increasingly debased, which means they can't buy but maybe a little bit of groceries. Where they used to be able to fill up their grocery cart, now they're lucky to fill up 1 bag.
Correct. And that's why part two of the strategy, having some cash on hand, because that's the system we deal in currently, having, you know, gold and silver, converting some of those dollars to gold and silver, because, for example, you put $10,000 in a safe at home cash. You put $10,000 worth of gold and silver in that same safe and you leave it there for 10 years. When you pull it out 10 years from now, that cash is going to be buying you significantly less than it buys you today, if we're even using that currency, and more than likely not. But whatever that $10,000 of gold and silver buys you today, it's going to buy you 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. And that's the beauty. And I've heard you many times tell people, and rightfully so, don't invest in gold and silver to make money. Invest in gold and silver as your insurance policy, as your backup plan. And that's part two of the strategy, having cash on hand and having gold and silver as well.
We're talking about the ability to weather financial crises with a hard asset. The Bible describes money or wealth and money as gold, silver, land, cattle, houses. Well, I don't think I want to own cattle, and most people don't have a yard for that. But with cattle prices, or actually I should say with grain prices to feed the cattle, it's a tough line of work, right? But go and look at what gold and silver were back in let's say, 1990. Right, 1993.
Right.
It was around in 1993. It was around $300 an ounce or somewhere in there. And then under George
correct.
W. it dropped down in maybe $250 an ounce somewhere in there, if I remember correctly. And then of course, where are we today? As we're on the air today, gold is hovering around 18. What's that?
1709.60 is the spot price right now.
All right. So you think anyone that put $10,000 into gold in 1993, or when George W. was in office, and it was around under 300. Do you think anyone that put $10,000 into that is complaining today with it being at 1700?
No, absolutely not.
They've what is that? What is that? Say 300 divided into 1700. What is that? That's what, five?
Go ahead.
What is about four? Four times three is 12. So 4 times
5 is 15.
5 is 15. So you're looking over five times. They've increased their money over five times.
Right. Correct. Now, of course, goods and services cost a lot more than back then. So again, whatever that gold and silver was buying back then, it's buying today.
That's the point. And that's the point. It's not, ooh, wee, look at all the money I made. No.
Right.
Because everything else has gone up. That gold and silver has stayed consistent with the price of goods going up. So the same thing you could buy with that $10,000 when George W. was in office, you can still buy with that same $10,000 today once you convert your gold and silver back to paper money or back to digits. And that's how you would do it. You would now take it when you needed it to buy that new car or as the down payment for that car or whatever. You would take that, pack it up, insure it per your instructions, ship it back to Swiss America, and within, 48, 72 hours, they have a check back. Then they take it to the bank, put it, and buy what they want. And in that 10 years, they've just preserved their purchasing power, correct?
Correct. And the same goes for, we'll be cutting a check based off of whatever currency we're dealing in at that time, whether it's the dollar or a new currency they introduce, being a physical currency, but more than likely, a digital currency we'll be dealing with in the future. And we would just cut the check based off of that currency.
And in that 10 years, your money, instead of being debased going down, your money in the gold and silver was keeping up with the inflation rate as a hedge against inflation to preserve your purchasing power or to preserve your life savings or a percentage of your savings, correct?
Correct.
And no one's talking about taking 50% of your assets and throwing it in gold and silver, are they?
No. I mean, we believe in diversification, but I'm very confident, Brandon, that for the next 3 to 6 years, with the times that we're living in and the fundamentals that are lining up, a person would be hard-pressed to find a better place to park their money for the next 3 to 6 years than gold and silver. And if they transition into metals, and in the future things start to turn around, we get some common sense back in the marketplace. People can always sell out of their gold and silver positions and transition back into the stock market and buy stocks, bonds, mutual funds through, Raymond James, Edward Jones, whoever they choose. So just because you transition now into gold and silver doesn't mean that's where you have to stay 4, 5, 6 years from now if things, transition.
But I think the key here is that people should not look at diversifying into gold and silver as making money. This is about preserving your purchasing power.
Correct. Yep. Use traditional investments, stocks, bonds, mutual funds. Use real estate. Use those investments to make money. Again, this is your insurance policy, your backup plan.
Okay. Let's go to another video about what's happening in China. Watch this.
Bank runs continue to spark immense chaos all across China. And this time, things are getting heated. Since last week, thousands of people took to the streets of major Chinese cities to ask banks to unfreeze their deposit accounts, only to be dispersed by heavy-handed security personnel and remain at risk of losing all of their savings. 4 big Chinese banks have frozen millions of dollars worth of deposits in April, telling customers they were upgrading their internal systems. But by now, the population has lost their trust in the institutions and the government. According to economists and experts, the country's huge $54 trillion financial system, which is more than double the size of assets across U.S. commercial banks, China is on the precipice of a serious debt crisis. And the implosion of the nation's real estate market and the ongoing bank runs are only symptoms of a much bigger problem. Now, we've got a lot to cover in today's video, but before moving...
All right. So, again, wouldn't take much for that to happen here, would it?
No, absolutely. I mean, you look at how fragile the economic system is right now, the banking system, this runaway inflation, the Fed's raising interest rates. They're going to be... the economists are talking about the next rate hike being at least a full percentage point.
Here's that headline now. CNBC, traders are betting the Fed could raise interest rates by a full percentage point this month. What does that mean? What does that mean? Explain to the average person out there what that means for them.
Well, when the Fed has to unwind their balance sheet, they need to start getting rid of some of the currency that's out there in circulation. They need to start withdrawing it because, like you said before, inflation is too many dollars chasing the same goods and services. So they're going to start lowering their balance sheet, pulling some of those dollars in out of the system, at the same time raising interest rates. When you raise interest rates, that slows borrowing. That makes families tighten up their spending. So you don't have as much demand going after that supply because people are tightening the belt. And that's how they're going to try and get behind this inflation, is by raising rates and reeling in their balance sheet. But many people have said that they're way behind on this. They should have started doing this a long time ago. And many are calling for even a bigger rate hike than 1%. They just want to rip the Band-Aid off. But you look at what's going on in Washington, they're back to pushing the Build Back Better, you know, agenda. The Biden administration should be thanking Manchin and Sinema for blocking that. Imagine, Brandon, if they would have released those trillions of dollars into the system, imagine how much worse inflation would be right now. And we're not done with this yet.
Well, look at the screen here. USA Today, July 13th, 2022. Inflation hits another 40-year high. What does that mean for shoppers in the next Fed rate hike? So we're at a 40-year high of inflation. So this means many, many people now are going to be not able to afford that new house or first house or apartment or condo, right, or townhome, because the increase in interest rates means a couple hundred dollars more, at least for some, in monthly payment, which prices them out of that house. They're going to have to now go with a house in a not as nice a part of town, or go with a smaller house, or can't buy one at all. So this starts to also, we're now seeing for the first time, the average car payment in America has ticked up over, what, $700 now? That's the average car payment now is over $700.
Well, they raise rates another percentage point. 30-year mortgages will be knocking on 8% for a 30-year note.
Which for many people means that they won't be able to afford a house, which will mean, again, more people renting. We'll see what does to the housing market. But, of course, what we have is also now a lot of big, huge companies buying up real estate. I'm reading reports of BlackRock and other groups buying up real estate and renting because, you know, the old 2030 agenda of World Economic Forum is by 2030, you'll own nothing and be happy. More and more people are going to be renting, which, of course, obviously is an opportunity for people that have cash to buy hard assets,
right,
to move into rental property that generates a cash flow, and they're in a hard asset that's going up, hopefully with inflation. Even if it goes down with the market and supply and demand, some markets will be too flooded and too much inventory sitting there, which means the housing prices will drop. Some folks will rush in and have cash, buy those up, start renting them out, and that'll be a nice hard asset, just like gold and silver, another hard asset, correct?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, I think, you know, with the my sister's a realtor in Nebraska, and the biggest problem, like a lot of places in the state, there was no inventory to sell, you know. But as those rates, like you said, as those rates start going up, forcing people to look at, you know, lower valued houses, different neighborhoods, the inventory could start coming back and be an opportunity for people that have cash set aside to buy, you know, real estate at a discount. Mm-hmm. I think it's really kind of too early to tell with the real estate market right now, but I wouldn't be one bit surprised if we see a pullback in the real estate market as well due to the raising interest rates.
Which, again, for those who've been wise with their money and sitting with cash, they'll be ready to move in those markets, pick up deals, and then flip them and turn them into rental properties and provide cash flow.
Right.
Which,
exactly.
Again, we're seeing major financial institutions buying up blocks of homes like this all over the country, correct?
Correct. Yep.
And why are those multi-billion dollar funds not sitting in cash? Why are they not sitting in cash?
Because they don't want to lose purchasing power.
Right. You know? So in other words, if you want to make money, watch what the rich people do, right? What do rich people do? The rich banks, the bankers, the big hedge funds, the big financial firms, they're buying gold, silver. The central banks are loading their vaults up with gold and silver. True or false?
Yep. Getting out of the dollar and transitioning to gold and silver because they know what's eventually going to happen to the dollar, you know, and they don't want to be left holding the bag with a bunch of dollars. So if the people that control the money supply are transitioning from the dollar into physical gold, we might want to pay attention and figure out why they're doing that.
So if they're transitioning into hard assets, gold and silver, farmland, buying up houses, these, you know, big institutions buying up lots of houses and getting into the rental business, why are they all moving out of cash and moving into hard assets? Central banks moving into gold and silver, filling their vaults with gold and silver all over the world. People can go look it up. Big institutions buying farmland, big institutions buying houses. They're all, you see the trend, they're all moving toward hard assets.
Yes. Yeah, because paper, you know, the dollar, paper investments, the dollar, with what's going on right now with the fundamentals in the market, you don't want to be holding a lot of dollars because they're just going to continue to lose their purchasing power and be devalued.
And that's the thing about precious metals. Everyone, for the most part, can afford to participate in that market. You may not be able to say, well, I'm going to go out and buy a second house or a third house and turn it into a rental property.
Right.
Well, you may not be able to say, well, I'm going to go out and buy 100 acres, 200 acres of farmland, rent it out to a farmer, generate some revenue in rent, but have my money in a hard asset that they're not making more of, farmland. Well, a lot of people can't go out and do that. But land and houses are not the only hard asset, gold and silver. So someone who maybe to say, well, I could certainly take some and go and buy $5,000 in gold and silver or $10,000, well, $20,000, whatever it is they want to do, that's a far cry from buying a whole house or 200 acres. So what I'm saying is we're showing that there are multiple hard assets. The uber rich and financial firms seem to be moving toward hard assets and out of dollars. Not everybody can go buy farmland and second and third and fourth houses as investments. But pretty much everybody watching this broadcast can start monthly buying or quarterly or yearly moving into the hard asset of gold and silver. True or false?
True. I can't tell you, Brandon, how many clients I have that, you know, I've been doing this for 15 years now. The number of clients that for, you know, 12, 15 years buy $100 to $500 worth of silver every quarter. You know, I have clients that call me up, hey, Wes, I've got another $300, you know, what would be a good buy right now? And we find them the best value. So that's the beauty of this, is if you just over time, when you have some extra money, dollar cost average, add to your position when you have the opportunity, before you know it, over a period of time, you've got a nice little dash set aside of gold and silver. You don't have to have a big lump sum. I have a silver coin that you can buy from us for $15.75. Send us a check for $15.75. We pay the shipping, you know? So it's not like this is a market just for people that have a lot of money. Even people that just want a dollar cost average over time and add a couple hundred bucks here and there, that's something we can help you with.
Right. So if someone just said, okay, I'm going to set aside $400 a month, put into precious metals, and they do this every month, over the course of time, they'd have quite something that was keeping up with the rate of inflation versus going down, just having money, you know, cash in a shoebox. There was some country I saw, I can't remember, I wish I could, that was encouraging their people. They set up a program where their people could buy a small gold coin. It was in some kind of plastic cardboard container inside that, and they were encouraging their people every month to start diversifying into gold. It was a certain country. Do you remember which country is doing that? I just saw it.
I don't offhand, no.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting? They were encouraging their people to buy gold. You know,
I wonder if it was it China?
I think it was China.
I know they have vending machines that distribute gold over in China.
Now, why? Tell me why the Chinese government, communist country, would want their people to purchase gold.
Well, I'm not sure. I would think they would want them holding their currency.
Or is it they're just wanting to see that those dollars, that asset is abundant within their borders?
Or it could be, yeah.
I'm putting into a search engine real quick, see if I can find it. China encourages citizens to buy gold. Okay, here we go. China changing the global gold market. This is back in 2011, and it was talked about many. I can find a more recent one, but just quickly, here's one. It was talking about Europe, China, India encouraging their people to buy gold. That's 2011. I got to see if I can find one that's newer than that. But I'm pretty sure it was China. But we'll find that and bring it to you in another show if we have to. Here's one. Here we go. This is 2021. China opens its borders to billions of dollars of gold imports. So there you go. But we'll keep finding. But it was some country that it was in a little cardboard square with the gold right in the center. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Selling them in those vending machines. Yeah. So I bet it was China.
Okay. We'll have that for next week's show. All right. Let's go to here we go. How about this article here? Precious metals spoofing trials show too much deceit in play for little guy. This is an article from July 12, 2022. Prosecutors accused three former J.P. Morgan Chase and Company employees of ripping off the precious metals futures market with fake orders. Spoofing or the placement of sell and buy orders one never intends to honor has been illegal since the Dodd-Frank Act of 2010. While regulators' actions might be assuring, spoofing may still exist at some point. The ongoing trial of three former J.P. Morgan and Chase Company employees charged with making fake orders has been dividing the precious metals trading community. Tell me about this. Does this explain why gold hasn't just taken off and skyrocketed? Are they buying it in paper and then dumping it on the market? What's going on?
That's exactly what's been happening. They've been manipulating the market, helping themselves get wealthy, and they're big whales. They're big whale investors. This has gone on just like you remember back over a year ago, the GameStop and the AMC, where the hedge fund was shorting those companies and the Reddit guys got involved. This has been going on in the precious metals market for decades. And like right now, I mean, the spot price of silver right now, $18.83 is the spot, the paper price. The price of silver should be over $50 an ounce easily.
And which has hit twice, right? Since a few years ago and then once during the Carter administration.
Correct. And they hold that price down. And quite honestly, you know, we've talked before about bullion and numismatic coins.
Numismatic being 1933 and older.
Correct. And the benefit, one of the huge benefits of numismatic coins, these pre-1933 coins that were legal tender, used as currency, they have two markets. They're not strictly tied to this spot price like bullion products are.
Which bullion products being like U.S. silver eagles, 1 ounce silver eagles,
bar,
1 ounce gold eagles.
Foreign coins, Krugerrands, pandas, maple leafs, roosters, coins from other countries. Those are all bullion products. They have one market. They're tied to that spot price that J.P. Morgan, Citibank, Goldman Sachs, they all manipulate that price, playing both sides of the fence. When you have a numismatic coin, it has two markets. It's not those coins that are being sold off in the market and those numismatic coins, and they don't make them anymore.
So when you say it has two, you can make money two ways. You make money on the spot price, and you make money on the premium antique price. And as more people rush into numismatic 1933 and older, because the law allows for privacy, as more people rush in to buy a bucket of limited, I mean, there's only so many 1933 and older because FDR made it right, turn them in and melt them down. But some people said go pound sand and kept them. So there's a limited number of the numismatic 1933 and older. And as people buy those, there becomes less and less and less in the bucket. Supply and demand kicks in and the premium price increases. So you can make money on the premium price along with the spot price, correct?
Correct. And the premium price goes up to entice those people that are holding those products to sell them back to the market so we have inventory.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example. Morgan silver dollars, silver piece dollars, a 1 ounce silver coin used to be used just like a dollar bill. Prior to the pandemic, on any given day, we could have filled $1.5 million order of either one of those coins, no problem. We went through this last year, periods of time, where for 2 weeks, we didn't have a single one of those coins to sell to anybody. We had people calling in wanting to buy, had no inventory. And this is a coin that was very easily, readily available at one point in time. Now, people are selling them back to the market because the premiums have gone up. But, you know, when you have that...
So in other words, they're cashing in and taking some profit off the table.
Correct. Exactly. So, you know... Again, with the fundamentals that are going to drive metals higher, a weak dollar, inflation, supply and demand, those numismatic coins, I just see those premiums continue to go higher. So I've had people that have looked, like I said, gold and silver are basically at their one-year low right now. It's a buying opportunity. If you like buying things on sale, we're a year off. We're right at the year low. And
isn't that the key to making money? Buy low, sell high?
Exactly.
How about correct. This? How about, as you were just explaining, when people finally wake up, they're going to buy at the price, it's going to be higher, and that's if they can even get it. Because there's going to come a time, in my opinion, they won't even be able to get it.
Right. It's just going to get harder and harder. And the thing is, I've had people call, like looking at the spot price. You know, they own numismatics, and they call thinking their account's going to be down significantly. And when I talk to them and I pull up their account and I go over the values with them, they're shocked. They're like, well, I thought gold and silver have been really going down the last year. Like, well, the spot price has, but that doesn't mean your physical product that you own that they no longer make, that doesn't mean it's not falling like the spot price is. And those premiums will continue to go up.
And so there is a place to make money two ways, spot price and premium price. So again,
correct.
And of course, as the old saying says, past market performance is not indicative of future market performance. But I mean, if you really think the government's going to stop printing money, do you really think, folks, the government's going to stop printing and giving out money? We just gave, I mean, how many trillions have, or billions, I should say, how many billions have we now given to Ukraine, right?
Ukraine? I stopped counting a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no end in sight.
How about this? Not only are some people going to get in the spot where they're paying more than they would, they're going to get in the spot where it's that inventory is not available or limited, or they can't get their money out of their institution to even buy it. How many people are you right now fighting with the institutions to get your clients' money out of said institution? How bad is it?
It's getting very bad. If you call if your listeners call their custodian wanting to make a transaction or do something, it's not uncommon to be on hold to talk to a live human being a minimum of 30 minutes. I've waited on hold for over an hour trying to talk to somebody to help clients move their money. These custodians are looking for any reason whatsoever to reject a transfer request.
How many weeks has it taken you to help some of their clients get the money out of their own account?
I have a client that's taken 6 weeks. Something that should take 7 to 10 business days took 6 weeks for them to get their money.
And wait till things get really bad. And how hard do you think it's going to be able to get their money out of those institutions?
Well, I mean, imagine when there's a panic and everybody's calling. Right now, you're waiting on hold. It's not uncommon to wait on hold 45 minutes to an hour. Imagine when everybody's calling. You're going to hear that message, you know, press 1 for a callback in 3 days.
How about this? What are the likelihoods eventually in America we'll see capital controls put in?
Oh, I think that's coming. I think that's coming, absolutely.
How easy is it to walk up to a bank today and take $10,000, $20,000 out of a bank?
Well, I had a client that had a CD that was coming due, and he said, you know, Wes, I haven't been really making much interest on this CD. I need to get some work done on my house. And the contractor said if I paid him in cash, they'd cut me a better deal. So he went to the bank to close that CD, and they told him to come back in 2 days. They had to order the money, and it was $15,000. It's not like it was $150,000. It was $15,000, and he had to go back in 2 days to get the money from the bank.
Yeah, again, try to do that when everybody and their grandmother's wanting it, right? Like it's going into China. Good luck.
Well, at any time, you know, if there was a run on the banks and you get to the bank and you get there and there's already a huge line and you wait your turn and you get up to the teller and you say, hey, I'd like to close my account. They look at you and say, well, you see all those people in line behind you? Guess what they're all here to do as well. All we can give you today is $400. You know, take your $400. No, you don't understand. I want to close my account. I've got $15,000, $20,000 in your bank. Well, sorry, all we can give you today is $400.
And again, that's not counting the fact you could have a federal mandate put in, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, is it true or false? You are the unsecured creditor. The money actually in your account doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the bank. You're an uninsured creditor, or you're a liability. True or false?
True, thanks to the Dodd-Frank bill. Correct.
And is there not, but Brennan, don't you know FDIC will protect me up to what, 200, 250,000 or whatever?
Yeah. Well, when these major banks fail, that FDIC insurance, good luck. I wouldn't gamble my chances of them cutting me a check.
Because there's only so much in the FDIC, and then they have to go back to Congress with hat in hand and ask for more, and Congress may say no.
Right. Yeah. Exactly right.
So let's go to this before we can conclude. Something I've been warning about for well over a decade, BRICS, the BRICS banking system, Brazil, Russia, India, China, massive implications, Saudi Arabia in discussion to join BRICS coalition. The outcome would be global energy and economic cleaving. Not to mention, you start dumping the petrodollar, and I saw this week that Argentina has been given the blessing by China to come join the BRICS banking system. What does this mean for the American dollar if we end up losing the petro-American global reserve currency, the dollar as the world reserve currency and the petrodollar?
Oh, it's going to be devastating. I mean, right now, all those countries, when they do business with one another and with oil and gas, they convert their dollars, their currencies to the petrodollar. And they're all looking for ways to go around the U.S. and avoid having to convert to that petrodollar. And if that happens, it's going to be devastating.
And then here's an article, the International Monetary Fund, darkening economic outlook and call for tighter controls. And they go on to say that 2023, they think, could look worse. They even go on to talk about supply chain problems. They go on to talk about societal unrest. So, again, there's a lot of concerns here. And, again, all we're saying is people need to be wise. We don't give financial advice. We give financial opinion. Do your own due diligence. What are they going to get if they text you at that number, 602-558-8585? What is Wes Peters going to send them with Swiss America?
We've got a lot of great information. It's all free. We got I mentioned earlier, the report, The Secret War on Cash, how, you know, talks about how our government doesn't like when people use cash. If you use cash, you're trying to hide something. You're up to no good. You know, that's why one reason they have the big push to go to a digital currency. We've got information explaining the different products. You know, it's all about education, Brandon. We don't expect people to call us up and say, hey, I'm ready to buy gold and silver. We send out this information. People can review it, do their homework, do their due diligence, as you always say. Write down a list of questions, concerns, and then have a no obligation free educational call. Let's talk about the questions. Let's talk about your concerns. You know, those concerns are valid. It's not like people call us up and say, okay, Wes, I'm ready to buy gold and silver. People will say, well, it kind of makes sense, but I have questions. Get the information. We'll mail it out to you. We'll follow up with you with a text or whatever in a week and a half, 2 weeks. Make sure you receive the material. Ask you if you'd like to talk. Let's set up a time. If not, we thank you for your time. Say, hey, if things change in the future and you want to revisit this, feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to help you.
And right, frankly, your phones are ringing off the hook, so it's not like you have time to just twist people's arms.
Exactly. I mean, I say I don't have time to chase people. I can't keep up with the people that want to talk, you know. So we're not going to hound you. We're not going to put you on any list. Here's the information. Do your homework. You want to talk, shoot me a text with a day and time that works for you. I'll respond back, yep, that time works, or hey, can we move it an hour this way or that way? And we'll get you on the schedule and be happy to have that conversation and see if we can help.
Yeah. All right, Wes, we look forward to next week's financial report. There's so much happening. We have no shortage of things to talk about week to week. We look forward to doing that again. Thank you. I've been working with Swiss America as a sponsor of my conferences and broadcast network for 15 years. Wes comes to our conference every year in the Ozarks. He'll be back there this year. Last October, I saw him sitting at the table at the Thursday night banquet concert, visiting with the whole table. Most of them were his clients. So, again, you're having the opportunity to actually build a relationship and a friendship with someone that you can actually walk up to and talk to at our Ozarks conference. And again, we've been working with them for 15 years. Scores and scores of our people are working with Swiss America, and I've done business with Swiss America. Many of my friends have. So their founder and now their CEO are personal friends as well. I met them through Michael Reagan, Ronald Reagan's oldest son initially. So there you go. 15 years I've been working with this company, Swiss America. Wes Peters, good friend. 602-558-8585, 602-558-8585. Well, that's this week's financial report. Thanks for watching. Take care.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and we have just received a new shipment of freeze-dried food, and we have a new website where you can purchase it. It's wvwtvstore.com. That's the new website, wvwtvstore.com. Again, WVW, as in Worldview Weekend, wvwtvstore.com. It has a 25-year shelf life. All the details are there, 2,000 calories a day. Great description of exactly each entree, what you're getting. We have the 2-week plan, we have the 4-week plan, we have the 3-month plan, 6-month plan, and many of you have asked for a plan that's 1 year, a 1-year food supply. That's what I have. And many of you have asked for that. We added it. It's all available now at wvwtvstore.com. Now, I do want to tell you, on some of it, we're eating some of the cost of the shipping. In other words, we're not charging you for some of these plans what the shipping actually cost us. We're going to go ahead and eat the cost of some of the shipping. And if you want to know why shipping is expensive, well, for like the 1-year plan, that's a lot of buckets. That's a lot of weight. So again, you need to know that we're not charging you what the full price of the shipping is, because again, we're trying to be reasonable here. Look, we want to offer you this service. We appreciate your buying it from us. It's a big part of our general operating budget. We know you could buy it somewhere else, but when you buy it from us, you're also helping to support WVW Broadcast Network. Now, again, as we get into the fall, there's talk of pandemics and rolling blackouts and World War III and all the things that are going on in this world. The demand for freeze-dried food is going back up. We've actually had times and periods where the company says to us, we can't provide you with anything for right now. You're going to have to wait a few weeks. In some cases, they've even said a few months. We had to flip to another company because the company we were originally with stopped making it available to us as a distributor for months. So we have a great company we're working with. We appreciate them. We're getting shipments. But folks, when the demand kicks in, we can't guarantee you we can get it. If we can't get it, we can't offer it to you. So I would urge you to order while we can get it to you. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. All the details are there. If you prefer to order over the phone, you can call 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also text Melissa at that number and give her your name and your number and say, hey, call me when you can. She's swamped, folks. So be patient with her. She's absolutely swamped. But you can text her at 901-825-0652 or call her. Better to text her if you can, and then she'll call you as soon as she's able to. 901-825-0652. Otherwise, place your order at wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com, while we have it and while we can ship it to you. Thank you.
All right, that's what we filmed the other day. I want to bring that to you. And I looked this up. I was like, I looked up Scimitar, and of course I know what it is. I just wasn't expecting to find it on a newspaper. And so, of course, I know what it is. I was like, how silly. Look at the screen I just talked to you about the other night. I just didn't equate the official term. It's like a sword of Islam. Show my PowerPoint, Logan. I talk about the... It's still not working? Oh, for Pete's sake. Our system's not communicating. Anyway, it's like the sword of Islam. It's like the hat on the sword on the hat of the Shriners. So, yeah, of course I know what that is. I just didn't equate it with this. Huh. I think it's kind of a connection, like the pen is mightier than the sword. Is that kind of what it's saying? I don't know. Anyway, I gotta get that thing working again, Logan. I don't know. Let's see. Does that work, Logan? Got it now? Logan, how about now? You're waiting on it? Nothing. Okay, look at that. I've showed you guys that a million times. There you go. Look at that. Yep. So there you go. That's like the sword. All right, there you go. All right, joining me. Oh, before I go to my next guest, and I got to keep moving because I got two more guests. Don't forget, we are a listener-supported broadcast. I want to show you this real quick. This is the homepage of mystore.com. If you want to get the new coffee that's just come out. I've had three cups today. Get it at mystore.com. Use the promo code B66. And when you use that promo code B66, you can save up to 25%. So get some savings and support us at the very same time. Use the promo code B66. The coffee, Mike Store coffee, is their Mike coffee. It's only available on mystore.com. It's 100% organic, has not been laced up with a bunch of pesticides, because it's not been sprayed with any pesticides. Coffee is one of the most sprayed crops, I'm told, my wife tells me. And so she's always concerned with how much coffee I drink. Well, guess what? Now I can drink all I want, and she doesn't have to worry about it, because this is organic. You can get it in light, medium, and dark roast. You get it in the full beans, or you can get it ground. We've been enjoying it now for 2 days since we got our shipment. Love it, love it, love it. Mystore.com, you'll love the taste. Mystore.com, use the promo code B66. And then quickly, if you go to mypillow.com, we got a lot of sales going on over there. Slippers, we've got the new sandals, we got a bunch of buy one, get one free. Got a lot of sales going on over there. You should take advantage of it while you can. Again, use that promo code B66 and we get credit. B66, we get credit. Helps to keep the Worldview Report and Brandon House Live going. Joining me now is Dr. Peter Breggin. He's been a guest of mine many, many times. I think I've been working with Dr. Breggin for probably 10 years or more. He's a regular here on Lindell TV. I know he's a regular guest of Tamara Scott. He is known as the conscience of psychiatry. He's been warning about the dangers of psychotropic drugs for many years and has been involved in many court cases related to school shooting when it turns out the school shooters were on psychotropics. He joins us tonight due to a new study out that shows that SSRI antidepressants don't help depression. Dr. Peter Breggin, welcome back to the broadcast.
It's really good to be with you, as always. This is very interesting, Brannon, because I was publishing about this very same thing in 1994 and 1995.
Wow.
In medical books. And I know the main author is an old friend of mine. I haven't seen her in a little bit, Joanna Moncrief. She is one of the rare psychiatrists who was willing to do, this kind of work of looking into these things. She's very brave about that. But going back to the very early times when they first started promoting the SSRIs, they made up this untrue story that depression was genetic, and that's what not only genetic, but consisted of not enough serotonin. And I knew from the beginning that was totally false, because first of all, the serotonin nerves are the most widespread in the whole brain. They're not the very largest, but they're the most widespread. They go every possible place in your brain. They go down your spinal fluid, down, and they go. There's serotonin in your bloodstream, in some of the cells that circulate. So, I mean, it's like this universal substance. How in the world just that little bit of a change in this huge system would somehow come out with a result like that seemed ridiculous. Secondly, I knew that depression was caused by sadness, loss, hopelessness. We see it now all the time in the COVID field, that people get very sad and depressed when they're isolated, when they lose loved ones, which has been much too much of from both COVID and from the injections. So it's very old news, but it's great it's being picked up for some reason now, all these years later, maybe because I'm not involved in these studies. The other thing they found that was very interesting was that long term, the system doesn't actually have too much serotonin in it. If you're giving drugs, you get too little. You get sluggish serotonin. And I predicted and wrote about that. You just can't hammer a system trying to charge it up to produce more of a substance. The systems always in the brain react and say, no, we're not going to do that. And they ended up producing less. And she even mentions the what she learned from reading my stuff way, way back, which is that probably the drug just numbs people, and so they think they may feel better, but they're actually feeling less. Something that might be interesting as a sidelight to look at is we are getting more suicides increasingly, and especially under in a group that isn't particularly suicidal, which is young girls. And one of the reasons for that, very possibly, it's hard to tease it out, is that because our children are more depressed now, they're more isolated, they're more lonely, more hopeless for many different reasons, and not just COVID, but the long-term fall of the economy, taking any kind of spirituality out of the schools, the breakdown of the family. There's so many reasons why kids are not happy now like they used to be. Forget depression. Well, that if you're not happy, you get antidepressants. And antidepressants, as I pointed out way back in our book, Talking Back to Prozac by me and Ginger, back in 94, they actually cause suicide. I was very instrumental back then in getting the FDA to finally put a warning, at least for children, on suicidal behavior. But it actually causes outright suicide. And that we do this kind of thing, prepared me to write our book, right? COVID-19 and the Global Predators. It got me and Ginger able to do what others hadn't done, which was to really dive into what in the world is going on in beneath COVID. We didn't suspect that we'd find this whole global system of oppression, which we didn't know about and how it was affecting. There's a lot of different tie-ins with this story.
And you, of course, were involved in looking at the SSRIs when it came to Columbine and the Aurora shooting, correct, Doctor?
Well, that's right. And probably most important of all, out of all the psychiatrists in the country, when I was still a young man, I was picked to be the scientific investigator for over 150 lawsuits against Eli Lilly for violence and suicide and mayhem. Now, one of the interesting things that I found, which was utterly dismaying, was that out of the 150 suits, they picked the least likely one to win. And then they sold out. The head of the consortium of 40 attorneys, 150 lawsuits. I'm the one who's gone in and evaluated all the internal documents, probably the only psychiatrist that had done anything like that up to then, in Eli Lilly. And they actually fixed the trial. Not all the lawyers. The lead lawyer fixed the trial of this mass murder. A mass murder never should have been the first case anyway. You want some nice, sweet man, you know, who's a coach, like one case I had, a coach locally who just got the drug and killed himself.
Wow.
So I got disillusioned back then when I found out the trial had been fixed, and eventually it actually came out and was the judge found out, and the judge dismissed the verdict and called it a settlement with prejudice by Eli Lilly, because they had settled, he thought, during the trial. I know they've settled before the trial. And the press never carried. This is so how bad it's always been. You know, it's like it's worse now. But even back then, 1994, the press, they fawned over Prozac, you know, exonerated in a trial, a fake trial. They didn't know. Then when it came out as a fake trial, none of the media reported it.
Wow.
I only saw reports in the local newspaper of the city and in a couple of legal journals, which is where I found out.
So this study, how big was this study, Dr. Bregan, the one that's coming out showing that these SSRIs are not stopping depression? How big was this study?
Well, they don't show it doesn't stop depression. They don't look at that. What they look at is whether or not there's any connection at all between the serotonin and depression, because that was the marketing ploy.
Okay, so let's just clarify.
And that...
Just clarify again. It showed, because I was reading the notes your wife sent me.
Oh, okay.
A new study out shows SSRI and depressants don't help depression. So that's not that's not a correct statement?
No, my God. That's the first time I've ever heard Ginger make an error in my life doing PR. I swear. No, she's been so rushed because we have a really big project I could tell you a tiny bit about quickly and maybe come back on. But no, it showed no connection between depression and serotonin.
Okay, so no connection between depression and serotonin.
The whole marketing thing.
Okay. So what you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, are you saying that they were promoted to increase serotonin? Is that what they were
promoted
to do? And you're showing it doesn't increase serotonin?
No. There's no connection at all between depression and serotonin. They made it up. Which I knew 20 years, 40 years ago.
Now let me also make sure I'm clarifying. So what you're saying is not that the SSRIs don't increase the serotonin. You're saying that a lack of serotonin doesn't create depression?
Exactly. There's no relationship at all.
Okay.
And we have a lot of other studies showing that it doesn't work. It mainly blunts emotions, or it gives you a placebo effect, which is very, very powerful. Have you got one more minute?
I do one more for my next guest. Yes.
We are just finishing a three columns in a row for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for America Out Loud, which is and it's going to be on the new book about mass psychosis, mass hypnosis, mass formation, by this fellow Desmet, the analyst from Europe. And this has become a buzzword. Famous people have got their names. Some of my best friends have got their names on this book. I don't think they knew what he was going to write, because I think he did a bit of a bait and switch. This book is an indictment of everybody who looks at conspiracy theories, says there's no harm meant at all by the good doctors who are working on all of this. The public mesmerized itself and got all upset when it should have been more rational. So it's blaming the masses, the public. It's blaming those doctors like myself and many others, and Bobby Kennedy and so on, for being so emotionally disturbed during the mass hypnosis that we decided we had to believe in conspiracy theories. He has completely bamboozled some of my favorite people in the world. And I think he did it by, because we looked over his, we read some of his interviews, listened to some of his interviews. During the interviews, he just mentions in passing there's no conspiracy. Just mentions it, and he's not picked up on it, and he doesn't come out in any of the interviews and say, and you, who's interviewing me, and like Reinhardt, he's interviewing Reinhardt, the lawyer in Great Britain at one point, and Reiner doesn't stop him and say, wait a minute, you know, tell me about this. And he never lets anybody know that he's actually going to indict all the people who are looking into the causes behind COVID-19.
Oh, ridiculous.
So love to come and talk about it when we'll be out. We've got the papers coming out.
Let me, when it does, we'll get you scheduled up right away. In the meantime, wearethepray.com, right? Wearethepray.com?
That's where you get the book, or you can get it the usual places. But if you want it a little cheaper and from us, COVID-19, the global predators, We Are the Prey is the name of the website to get it at. Thank you for that.
No, thank you. And we got 2,000 copies and sent them out to our top donors for our foundation. So that's how much we appreciate the book. Thank you, Dr. Bregan.
That was a gift from Ginger, who just made a little mistake tonight.
Well, that's all right. We won't talk about that. Thank you, Dr. Bregan.
God bless.
You too. Dr. Peter Bregan checking in. Hope you'll check out his website. Joining me now is Dr. Rob Lindstedt by phone. He can't join us by Skype tonight because I think he's out of the country. Dr. Rob, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Hey, Dr. Rob, let's talk quickly, because on social media today, it's said to be trending that people are talking about Ezekiel 38 because of the picture of Putin holding hands and his meeting with the president or the head of Iran and the head of Turkey. Iran, Turkey, and Russia. Ezekiel 38 speaks thousands of years in advance that these three nations would come into military alliance together, correct?
Yeah, absolutely correct. In Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, the Bible names these countries by their name, even describes them, and talks about how that they will be best friends in the last days. And of course, the Bible also indicates that when this comes to its fruition, it will be a time when there's a false peace. That's found also in Ezekiel 38. They're going to come against Israel. They're going to deceive Israel. If I could write a headline to promote the Bible, I think it would be probably the picture that was available today to see these guys holding hands.
Yes.
Talking about peace in the Middle East.
Yes. I mean, it's a Getty image. And so I'm hesitant to show it for fear that Getty Images will get on my case for showing it because it's probably copyrighted. But yeah, anyone can look it up. It's a shocking photograph of these three characters standing together. And isn't it something that's trending on social media? Ezekiel 38 is trending on social media for what people are talking about and looking up.
Well, here's what I think it shows. I think it shows that people understand that there's great unrest today because there's so many indicators that we're living at a very time the Bible talked about. And that picture, by the way, they can go to my website and they can download that picture. They can get a book that has some of those same things that bring a reference to it. But to me, the thing that is so important is that we've seen Russia over the last several months just dog Israel to death. We've seen Iran give additional threats.
Well, there they are. There's the picture. I'll show it. It's a Getty image. I'll show it since it's on your website so they can come after you. But there's the picture, Dr. Rob. And I think under federal fair use, we can show it and talk about it. I have my intellectual copyright attorney represents the estate of a gigantic company out of Memphis here, Elvis Presley. So I think he knows what he's talking about. And he said, yeah, you can show these kind of pictures when you're talking about it under federal fair use. So there you go.
The next picture shows, here's Russia and Iran.
Yes,
and
that's the next one. Showed that. Yeah.
They agreed to a $40 billion energy program. Here's what's taking place. The Bible indicates that in the last days, inflation is going to be horrible. Food is going to be scarce. There's going to be a way to control the world and the populations of the world. And energy and money are certainly part of that. Health is another one. We're watching all these things make headlines. And as we discussed last week, some of these people are saying, you know what, we need to bring in a new world order, or they call it the liberal world order.
Yes, yes.
Every one of these things are necessary because they have to break America. They had to bring America completely down, and they're doing it with false energy prices. They're doing it with high inflation. But look at the Middle East, because the Middle East is God's time clock.
Look at this headline, Dr. Rob, former Iranian deputy. If we decide to build a nuclear bomb, nobody will be able to stop us. The non-proliferation treaty is dead. How about that headline?
Well, they made some boast about the Titanic. Let me tell you this, that God will take Iran out. The Bible indicates that there will be a disaster for Russia when they come against Israel. There'll be a disaster for Iran. And the real truth is, even tonight, there was here these three nations were holding hands, hugging each other. Less than 24 hours later, Turkey was mad because Iran actually hit some sites in, or Turkey hit some sites in Syria that belonged to Iran.
Huh.
So these people are only friends on the surface. They're friends for one reason. They have a common enemy, and that's Israel. And this is what the Bible said. This is 2,500 years ago the Bible spoke of this. That's why, sooner or later, our leaders have got to get back to the Bible. Our country's got to get back to the Bible, because that's the only chance we've got in this crazy day and age.
I heard Dr. Rob Linstead that from several people probably 10 years ago or so that Prime Minister Netanyahu was studying the book of Ezekiel. Have you heard that?
Well, no, I haven't heard that. I know that I personally had some discussions with a former Prime Minister of Israel, Yitzhak Rabin, and he actually directed me to look at some passages in Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37.
Was he prime minister at that time?
He was the minister of defense at that time. Later he became the prime minister.
Right. Tell me about that. Tell me about that conversation, how it took place and what he said.
Well, it was wonderful because I said, okay, how do we know? I said, how do we know that when the Bible said that in the last days, Israel will become one nation again? They were divided. They were Judah and they were Israel. They were a single tribe and 10 tribes. And how did they get back? And how do we know that that's not going to happen again? He said, that's simple. And then he pointed me to the book of Ezekiel. And he said that in Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37, 37 particularly, it says that Israel will come back as one stick, one united country. And when they debated how Israel would come back as a nation, the United Nations said, you know, you're too weak. You're going to need help and support. They said, no, we're not coming back as two nations. We're coming back as one. We're coming back as a united stick, united nation. And so he pointed that out saying, you know what? This is fulfilling the Bible. Hmm. And he was talking about Ezekiel chapter 37. So we're, you know, if we look at the scenario that takes place, chapter 36 is Israel coming back to the land, making the land work. That's exactly what took place. Chapter 37 is Israel coming back as one nation, becoming a great army. Chapter 38 and 39 are the enemies of Israel trying to actually wipe Israel out. That's what Iran is saying. That's what Russia is saying. And it says that they want to come and take a great gain, a great spoil. We're watching that take place in the news. I mean, this is exactly the news that we've been reading about for the last 30 days. I really think we're on the brink of seeing Jesus Christ come back. It's called the rapture of the church. And wow, what's bad news for the world is good news for those that have accepted Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know if you want to say where you're at or not. Do you?
Oh, I don't mind.
Okay.
I'm in Spanish Wells, Bahama. And I sat in the ocean today, and we're having special meetings on Bible prophecy. And we looked at the New World Order, the formation of it, and all that's taking place.
Now let's talk about the digital ID, because I read a report on the air the other night about the Bahamas. They're moving fast with a digital ID and tying it to everybody's banking and whatnot. What are you hearing over there?
Well, you know, the whole world's going to go to digital ID. I think it's one of the great tools the Antichrist is going to use, because with a digital ID, there's several things they can do. Number one, they can actually charge your account without you knowing about it. They can decide we're going to charge you this. Secondly, they can also approve or disapprove any purchase you make. And so I'm going to be honest with you. I don't trust it.
Nope.
Because it does is gives one more whole level of control that the government has. I'm concerned because, you see, here's what we're seeing. We're seeing technology and government come together. It's bad enough that big technology has so much power over us. But now when the government comes together, now we have a combination that really can't be trusted, because we're living in a situation where the government cannot be trusted any longer. It used to be the government was a servant of the people. Now the government's saying, no, the people have become our servants. And
yep.
So this is exactly, again, the scenario the Bible talks about in the last days.
On my radio show today, I've only got like 2 minutes left, but on my radio show today, I interviewed Trevor Loudon again. There's a phone interview that's been picked up, I'm not sure how, but a phone interview with a guy in China with the CCP leaders. And it's been translated. Some experts have been studying it. They're talking about China's desire to go to war with America and invade America. We pointed to a speech given 15 years ago by General Qi, where he openly talks about going to war with America, using biological and chemical warfare against America, killing 2/3 of Americans and leaving the other third alive to be the servants of the superior race being themselves. We now see America surrounded, as Lenin said would happen. I think 1924, he said, we'll take Eastern Europe, then Asia, surround the United States, and collapse it from within. We see Nicaragua. We see what's going on in Venezuela. And then all these enemies that are now making military forces. Any thoughts on this? Because America's days seem really numbered, Dr. Lindstedt.
I'm concerned. And my concern is the fact that it seems like we're supporting our enemies. Here we are. We're helping Iran develop nuclear weapons. Why in the world would we do that when they threaten us? Mm. We're helping communist China to get control of our country and control of the world. Why are we doing this?
Yep.
And I think it goes again back to the fact that what we've done, we've left the first principles that our country was founded on. And as we've left those principal foundational beliefs, we're watching our country turn, and it hasn't turned for the good. It's turned for the for the bad.
But as we understand Bible prophecy, it gives us the context so we don't have to have fear and anxiety, because again, many of these things have been predicted. Jesus saying to his own disciples who became his apostles, I tell you these things so you will not fear. Folks, if you want context, all you got to go is to BibleTIPNow.org. BibleTIPNow stands for Truth and Prophecy. BibleTIPNow.org. And you can get free booklets, free downloads right now by Dr. Rob Lindstedt. A lot of great free resources, including some of the pictures and articles we were just talking about. BibleTIPNow.org. Dr. Lindstedt, thank you for the latest update.
My pleasure to be with you.
Be safe. I look forward to the next report. Dr. Rob Lindstedt checking in. Now look at my screen before I go. We just got eight pallet loads. Go to that screenshot. There we go. We just got 8 pallet loads today, stacked over 6 feet tall. 8 pallets stacked over 6 feet tall of these black buckets. We timed it just so as we were about to get done with our current inventory, the next one comes in. We are shipping fast. The wait is about 3 to 4 weeks from the time you place your order. But folks, that's because, like if I said in the past, you click on emergency food supplies, you order one of these. Let's say you order the 1 year supply. That's 24 buckets in 12 boxes. That takes our guys a while to pack up. Obviously, if you get the 6 months, then you're looking at 12 buckets and 6 boxes. You don't pack that up in 5 minutes. So it takes our team a while to get all this stuff packed up. Now, again, we got 3 month, we got 4 week, we got 2 week, we got 6 month, we got 72-hour test kit. I would urge you to get it while you can, while we have the supplies, because we can't promise you that. We have had run out before. It had to wait weeks. We've also seen price increases, so we urge you to do that now. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. Also, if you like what we do, and many of you say that, hey, we just want to support what you're doing, you can support my WVW Foundation. Just go to WVWFoundation.com, WVWFoundation.com. Support our Christian Worldview Foundation for using technology and broadcast to proclaim the truth of a Christian worldview, just as we've been doing tonight, as we just did with Dr. Rob Lindstedt. And then finally, you can go to mystore.com and pick up the brand new My Coffee, 100% organic. You'll love it. Light, medium, dark roast. You'll love it. Be sure to use that promo code B66. We get credit and you save up to 25%. So mystore.com, promo code B66 to get your My Coffee. Thanks for watching. I hope you have a great night. Take care.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. Have you watched Worldview Report? That is our new nightly Worldview broadcast. It's a 30-minute nightly television broadcast. It takes about 7 of us 15 man hours a day to put this all together. You'll see what I mean and how quality it is when you watch it for free at WVWTV.com. That's our 30-minute new nightly news report. But you know what else we're doing? We're taking this and putting it at worldviewradio.com each day as an MP3. For those of you that want to just listen to it while you walk the dog, work in the kitchen, drive in the car, work out. So we're putting it up not only as a TV show, but as an MP3 as well at worldviewradio.com. We're also now taking my 90-minute live television show that airs Monday through Friday, Brandon House Live, and we're now posting that also as a free MP3 at worldviewradio.com. So you can listen to Worldview Radio, my daily radio show, as you have for years at worldviewradio.com. You can listen to my 30-minute nightly news broadcast as now an MP3 at worldviewradio.com. And you can listen to my 90-minute live television show now as an MP3 at worldviewradio.com. Now, not only are these all at worldviewradio.com, you can also watch them as a TV show at WVWTV.com. Now, here's the deal. Did you know we spend thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth, paying for the bandwidth for people to watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows for free? Not only that, do you know what it costs to keep a staff going that helps me with all this? Did you know that we also have a utility bill that is like $1,500 to $1,700, close to $2,000 a month? Because even in the Mid-South, pretty much have to keep the air conditioning going year-round or the servers could overheat. And we also are pulling a lot of electricity with our TV studio. So think about our utility bill, our insurance, the people we hire and have to pay to keep working on our team, the bandwidth we pay for, our broadband high-speed internet. You cannot believe the thousands and thousands of dollars it takes to do the television and radio programs we're doing at the quality we're doing them. them. Please go right now to WVWFoundation.com and make a contribution. WVWFoundation.com. You can also use our mailing address, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Thank you so much for your support.